Today's shir is Masechta Beyadav. Tezvav, we begin on Daf Yudalar and Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Mishalchin, Kalim, the Mishnah says we continue discussing what may and may not be sent on Yontif. Says the Mishnah, Mishalchin, Kalim, one could send different types of clothing, paint, tfurim, whether if they're ready, wearable, the sewn and wearable, bench and from whether they're not wearable. Abishesham Klein. And the Mishnah teaches us that not only may they be so sent, but they may be sent even though they have klayim. And of course we know the halacha is that klayim may not be worn. Still, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, under certain circumstances, you can have use from klayim. And since you can have use from klayim, that's why it's something that may be sent on Yontif, as long as we just said, Hein Letzarech Moed, as long as there's something that you could have use from it. Avaloy Sandal Masumer, we'll discuss in the Gemara that there was a type of shoe that was called a Sandal Masumer, that Chazal said one may not wear that type of shoe on Shabbos and Yontif, and since one may not wear that type of shoe on Yontif, on Shabbos and Yontif, the halacha is you can't send it on Shabbos, you can't send it. Similarly, says the Gemara, Flemindel Shana Tofer, a shoe, as the Gemara is going to explain, which isn't really sewn together, and therefore, even if it's wearable, but since it's not wearable in a normal way, so it's something that doesn't have a use on Yontif, it may not be sold, sent. Yudaima, Afle Minel Lovin, not even a shoe that's white, Neshitzerach Umen. It still needs a professional to blacken it. And says the Mishnah Zer Klal, Koshinusim Babi Yontif, anything that you could use on Yontif, Mishalchan Esoy, we're allowed to send, but something that doesn't have any use may not be sent on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Etfurim, I can understand why clothing that's already sewn together may be sent on Yontif. The Chazal Malbush, they may be worn. Shein Tfurunami, even if they're not sewn together, Chazal Ksuyi, they could use to cover up something, and therefore they have a use on Yontif. El Klayim, the Mishnah said that we're allowed to send Klayim. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Chazui, you're not allowed to. What is their use for? And the Shal's Tshuva Shoel Meshiv makes the point, well, maybe a child could wear it. So he says that a child cannot wear klayim, because unlike other isurim, where a gadol may not do it and a katan, it's not an issue, points out the Shas HaTshuva Shoel Meshiv that klayim, the halacha is that not only may I not wear klayim, I may not put klayim on somebody else. And since I can't put klayim on somebody else, there's an isser of putting of sending klayim, because even the child can't wear it. V'chi teima, and if you'll make a counter argument, the chazal meimich to say it could be put as something to sit on, and therefore it has a use on Yontif. Says the Gemara Tanya, have we learned in a brisa the Torah when it speaks about the isser of klayim, so the beged klayim shatus loyalo lecha. That means b'deraisa, the iser of klayim is only something that you wear. However, after yochalat tzia tachtecha, you could put klayim to sit on. Avlam chacham Chazal taught us also lasses kain. Chazal said that one should not even sit on klayim because we're concerned shematikarech nimal besorei, that when you're sitting on the klayim, part of it may go on top of your body, and since it's going to go on top of your body, you're going to have a no from klayim being on top of you. So the Rishonim ask, even if a thread of klayim is going to go on top of you, that's not considered that you're having a no from the klayim. If you're having a no from klayim is from a garment. One thread certainly doesn't give a no. So why were Chazal so concerned? So, I saw a number of answers. Sometimes, even a small amount of a garment could give hana. And then, Another teretz that Rishonim suggests is that a small amount indeed cannot give hana. But when you're in the situation where you're having hana because you're sitting on klayim, and then that a little amount that you're sitting on combines, that goes on top of you, combines with what's on top, what's on below you, so that even though it's a small amount, it can't give hana, and that's why it's asur. V'chi teima. And if you say that you could send klayim on yontif, because you always could put it under you, the mafsik midi beni beni, you'll have something between you and the klayim. Ask the Gemara, Amar B'Shem ben Pazi, Amar B'Shem ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi B'Shem Kila Kedushim B'Yushalayim. And the Rishonim explain that whenever the Gemara says Kila Kedushim B'Yushalayim, there's a Medrash in Kehelis that says, that it refers to Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam and Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, who were people who divided the day into three. A third of the day they learned, a third of the Torah, a third of the day they davened, and a third of the day they worked. And because that's called, a person who lives life that way is called Kila Kedusha. Another pshat that I saw is similar. They used to work in the winter, and they used to work in the summer and learn in the winter. And again, they lived their lives in a very appropriate manner. So says the Gemara that they said, Afilu esem atzor zul gavzu, you have 10 layers of klayim, one on top of the other, and klayim tachtayim, and klayim is below all of 10 layers that are not klayim, or solution alayim. So how can we say that I could use klayim because I'll make sure that there should be nothing on top, that the klayim should not be directly below me? Ella, says the Gemara, the reason we could send klayim is it could be used for a viloin, it could be used for a curtain. Ask the Gemara, Vama'ula, Neima Amr Vilan Tama. Why did Chazal say that a curtain can makabel Tama? Ne Shashamish Mischam Kenegdoi. Sometimes the person working in the house takes this curtain and he wraps himself in it if he's cold. So we see that's going to be used as a beged. And we keep on repeating, Klayim cannot be used as a beged, says the Gemara. The klayim that we're referring to in our Mishnah is bekoshin. It's made out of felt. It's very hard. It doesn't give off any heat. It doesn't give off, it's not going to be used to be put on top of the person, and therefore there is no concern. V'chiyad amar Rav Huna, says the Gemara, V'chiyad amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, hay nam tegada denarish, it's a type of a hard felt garment. Sharia, one may sit on it, even though it's klayim. Amra Papa, a dalion, it's a type of an insole that they used to put into the shoe, and it's made out of klayim. Still, since it's hard, the body doesn't really enjoy it, there is by Embe Mishim klayim, there is no Issa klayim. And the Gemara continues to discuss klayim for a moment. Amra Papa, Hani Tzuri the Pshiti, they have wallets that are made out of klayim that are used for holding money. Ein ben mishum klayim. There is no issur of klayim because the hard coins that are put into this pouch prevent it from giving off any heat, from any benefit. The vizroni, but they used to have these types of pouches that they put in seeds into them. Yesh ben mishum klayim. There is a concern for klayim because they're soft and give off heat. Rav Ashama, echadzeh, no matter what type of garment, emishim ben klayim, there is no issur klayim, fish ain't there, b'chim v'kach. This is not something that people wear, and therefore there's no issur of klayim. Avaloi, sandal masumar. We learned in our Mishnah that sandal masumar may not be sent on yontif because sandal masumar may not be worn Shabbos in yontif. Ask the Gemara, Sandal Masumar my Tamaloi. Why? So the Gemara Meshum, Ma'isha Shahoyo. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Samach, teaches us about the Sandal Masumar. And the Gemara actually offers three pshatim over there in the Sandal Masumar. Exactly what is it all about? Shmuel says that they were hiding in a cave. And they made a rule, nobody could leave the cave, only come into the cave. Because somebody who was entering the cave could be careful to make sure that nobody sees him entering the cave. But somebody who's leaving the cave, nobody could tell. And somebody may leave the cave and be caught and endanger all the people in the cave. Somebody was wearing his shoe backwards, and therefore it looked like somebody left the cave. And because of that, the people in the cave panicked. And in that panic, they started running out of the cave, and they killed each other. Rabbi Loiber, that's Shmuel's interpretation. Rabbi Loiber and Elazar says that they heard people walking on top of the cave, and they thought that they're about to be attacked. And again, they ran out of the cave and were very seriously wounded. Rami Bar Yecheskel says that they were sitting in the base of Knesset, and they heard sound from behind the shul, and they thought it was the enemy coming to attack them. And that's why they all ran out with this, and they were all wearing these sandal mesumurim that have pointed pegs on the bottom that hurt, that wounded everybody else. And at that point, they said that nobody made mere sandal mesumur on Shabbos and Yontif, because the story happened on Shabbos. Amar Bayam, sandal mesumur osel naloi on Yontif, one may not wear sandal mesumur. However, mutal tatloi, it may be carried. It's not muksa to the degree that it may not be carried. It could be used because the Rashba explains it's considered like a klisha malachta lisser. And since a klisha malachta lisser, we know, may be moved l'tzarek gufay mekaymai, that's why the sandal mesumur is mutl tatli, says the Gemara. And what says Raya? Minik tanish emishalchim. Amish the Torahs that we're not allowed to send the sandal mesumur. Says the Gemara, this alka datach, if we're going to say the halacha is that we're not allowed to even move it, also tatloi, hashtal tatuli aser. So he's saying it's muksa to the degree that it may not be moved. So of course, mishalchim aboy, would the Mishnah have to tell us that you're not allowed to send it? You can't send it because you can't touch it. It must be that even though the halach is you could touch it, it's not, it's a klisha malachta lisser that can be moved, l'tzarek gufay mekaymai, that's why it can't be touched, but it's not muksa, but it still may not be sent. We learned further in the Mishnah, v'lai minashan atofa, a shoe that's not properly sewn together may not be sent on Yontif. Ask the Gemara Pshita. You can't send something that's not usable, and a shoe that's not sewn together is not usable. Answers the Gemara, even though it is somewhat connected with small, Rashi explains, small wood pegs, Rashi says it has stitches, but it's not stitched together in the normal fashion. So it is somewhat wearable. Still, the halach is that not really something you wear on Yontif, and therefore it should not be sent on Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, we learned further in the Mishnah, af loy minon lovin. One may not send a white shoe, again, because it's something that's not wearable. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Mato, b'shachar. Rabbi Yehuda says one could send a black shoe on Yontif. It's something that's wearable. V'oysel lovin. But he says you can't send a white shoe because it's not it needs some of a earth clod to blacken it, and therefore it's not wearable. It requires polishing. And since it's not polished, you can't wear it, and therefore it should not be sent on Yontif. Says the Gemara V'loi Pligi. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi aren't really arguing. Ma'ak Asri, Rabbi Yehuda said that, and Rabbi Yehuda was speaking regarding the minig where he lived, Omar and Rabbi Yossi was speaking Kasri in the place that he lived. And the Gemara explains, when we look at a piece of leather that comes from an animal, there's the side that's towards the inside of the animal, and there's a side that's towards the outside. The inside part is not smooth because it's the flesh. The outside part is the flesh. Basri the Maram, in where Rabbi Yehuda lived, they made the shoes Bisra L'Sachas. The flesh was towards the inside, and the not smooth part was towards the outside. And therefore, the did not require polishing. It only required blackening. Basri the Mar, where Rabbi Yossi lived, Bisra L'Eil, the part was towards the outside, and the part that was not smooth was towards the inside, and therefore it's uncomfortable for somebody to wear a shoe that the leather is not smooth in the inside. It requires polishing, and until it's polished, it may not be worn on Yontif. So we learned in the Mishnah Zayah, Klal Kol Shanusim Babi Yontif, anything that you could use on Yontif may be sent on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshi Sharul Rabbanon L'Shuduri Tfilu B'Yom Toiva. He allowed them to send tefillin on Yontif, one to another. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asked him, for Nantanan, haven't we just learned in our Mishnah, Kol Shanusim B'Yontif, Mishachan Asai. Only something that's usable on Yontif may be sent on Yontif. And this is something that's not usable on Yontif. Of course, the halacha, as we know, is that we don't wear tefillin. So Rashi explains that the reason he allowed them to send the tefillin, because even if they be put on Yontif, there's no issa to wear tefillin on Yontif. We're not obligated to wear tefillin on Yontif, but there's no issa to wear tefillin on Yontif. Different Rishonim disagree, and the other Rishonim say that our Gemara is following the opinion that Shabbos and Yontif is man tefillin. We, whoever who paskin that you're not allowed to wear tefillin Shabbos and Yontif, this is not, our Gemara would not be consistent with that opinion. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Lam and Aleph Sif Aleph paskins, the Shabbos for Yontif also on the tefillin. One may not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, and they should atzman an ois. Shabbos and Yontif are themselves an ois. If you wear a different ois, the tefillin which are an ois, how you zilzal oishlehem, it degrades the yontif and Shabbos by wearing tefillin. But Rav Sheshes allowed it. Asked the Gemara for a kol nantanan kol shenusim b'yontif shalchan esoi, something that can't be worn, that isn't worn. So how could you allow the tefillin to be worn? Hachkamer. So Baya had an entire different interpretation of our Mishnah. His interpretation of our Mishnah is kol shenusim b'chol. It doesn't have to be something that's wearable on Shabbos, on Yontif. Even if it's wearable during the week, Mishalchan Oysah b'Yontif may be sent on Yontif. And even though we don't wear tefillin on Yontif, since they're wearable, the halacha is they may be sent. However, Rashi points out, so everything has a use during the week. So how do we understand the rest of the Mishnah? So Rashi explains that by tefillin, again, Rashi consistent with his opinion, that by tefillin, if somebody would wear the tefillin, there is no iser, and therefore, even though it's not worn on Yontif typically, there is no iser to send it on Yontif. But, says Rashi, the sandal on the summer, which we just explained a few moments ago, is also to be worn on Yontif. There, Chazal won't allow it to be sent on Yontif because they were concerned that if we're going to allow you to send the sandal masumar on Yontif, you may come to wear it on Yontif, and there's never a heter to wear a sandal masumar on Yontif. Taisvis, in Masech the Shabbos, explains they were particularly strict about the sandal masumar because, as we explained, there was a terrible tragedy that happened because of the sandal masumar, and that's why they're stricter by the sandal masumar than they are by anything else. Another pshat that the Tosis over there suggests, that indeed the Gemara is being very lenient and allowing one to send on Yontif anything that he has benefit even during the week. But the sandal masumah, as we just learned, is something that caused a tragedy. So since it's something that caused a tragedy, the entire reason we're allowed to send something on Yontif is because of Simchas Yontif. The sandal masumah is not something that we could consider could cause Simchas Yontif. Amar Abaya, so continues the Gemara, says Abaya, Tefillin Hayav Asma Yodon, since we're speaking about Hilchas Tefillin, Nebu Bamilsa will say a halacha regarding Tefillin. We know one of the melachos on Shabbos, of course, as the Gemara teaches us at the beginning of the Masechta, is you're not allowed to carry something from one Rishus to another Rishus, from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yoch, Rishus Yoch to Rishus Rabbim. Furthermore, one may not carry something Dalat Amos in the Rishus Rabbim. And now the question is, if somebody wears tefillin on Shabbos, is that, how does the halacha look at it? So the issue is, because you're wearing it, so you're not carrying it. So is that an issue or not? Hayba, and therefore the Gemara begins to discussing, Hayba b'derech, somebody's traveling on the road Erev Shabbos, and in those days they wore tefillin all day, so it's possible that it's tefillin b'roishoy, and he's wearing tefillin on his head. V'shakal avchama now becomes Shabbos. So what should you do? Says the Gemara, Meniach yodin aleim, cover them with your hand, until you get home. That means you can't leave the tefillin outside. They used to learn in a Beis Medrash that was outside where they lived, and therefore there's a concern you can't leave the tefillin there alone, but you can't carry them. So this is what they used to do, but they used to carry it, to cover it, to avoid people seeing that you're wearing tefillin. Continues the Gemara. You're sitting in a Beis Medrash during the week. Again, Shabbos comes. Again, even though you're carrying the tefillin Dalat Amos to Shus Rabbim, or you're carrying it from Shus Yochid to Shus Rabbim, all these cases where Chazal were lenient in allowing you to wear it, wear them, and therefore, since you're wearing them, it's not a problem. And the reason they're supposed to be covered, again, is because it is Shabbos. And the Rashba says that even though it's because of Maris Ayin, and even though we learned earlier in Amasechta that when something is also because of Maris Ayin, it's also in all circumstances. Again, here, a combination of the Kedushas Tefillin coupled with the fact where you're covering it so people won't necessarily see what you're doing, that's why it's mutter. Taisus asks a question. First, the Gemara used the word v'shakal avachama. Then the Gemara used the word v'kiddush hayoyim. Why is this inconsistency? So Taisus explains that the Reish is speaking about during the week. During the week, it becomes night. We don't wear Lila Lav's Mount film. We don't wear tefillin by night. And therefore, the halach is cover them when you're wearing them. And if it's during the week, why do you have to wear them? Says Tosfos. You could carry them. It's during the week. So Tosfos says the reason you're not wearing them, the reason you're wearing them and not carrying them, because he's concerned that they may fall out of your hand. The next case, says Tosfos, of a Kiddush Lavayoyim, he says it's talking about Friday evening. And Friday evening, it's much stricter. And therefore, there are two chidushim, says Tosfos, in this din. One is that Laila loves Mount Tefillin, that we don't wear tefillin by night. And the other chiddush is that Shabbos loves Mount Tefillin, and that's why the Braisa mentioned both separate cases. Maser of Huna, Bereid Ravika, it says in a Braisa, Hayba b'derech v'tefillin b'roishoy, somebody's traveling Friday evening, and he's wearing tefillin v'kiddush lov ha'yoyim, and it becomes Shabbos, neich yodoy aleim, he should cover them, ach megil b'ayisa samach l'chama, until he gets until his first home. But you can't go all the way home. Hayosh b'es ha-medrash. If you're swearing tefillin, v'kiddush lov ha-yoyim, menich yad aleim, ach megil b'ayis ha-samach l'b'es ha-medrash. Get to the first house. So why are we being lenient here and let you go home? Answers Gemara, lo kasha. Hadamintra, if where you're going to deposit the tefillin in that home, the tefillin will be properly protected, so you have no right to wear the tefillin further. Hadamintra, if it won't be properly protected in that home, you could take it all the way to your home. Ask the Gemara, if we're talking about a case that leaving it, there's no way to leave it being protected, my iri b'roishay, why are we speaking about a case where a person's wearing tefillin? And now he's wearing tefillin and realizes he has a problem. Afila achsim ba'aranami. Even if the tefillin are found on the floor, the halacha would be, if it's in a place where they won't be properly protected, I could put it on. the Tanan Amoitz Tefillin, if somebody finds Tefillin in the street, Machnisin Zug Zug, he could put them on in order to prevent them from being left unprotected in the street. So if it's talking about an unprotected area, asked the Gemara, why do we have to speak about that he's wearing them already? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Ha, the Mintra, the Brisa that says that they should be taken off in the first home is when they're protected, Machas Kavi, Machas Kavi. They have to worry about people stealing them or animals doing something with them. This that Abayah said, you could go to your home, is the Mintra Machams Kalvi. You don't have to worry about dogs. However, Valentin Machas Kalvi. And therefore, since we have to be concerned that they may get stolen, you could take them all the way home. And the Chiddush is that what's Abayah teaching us? Mada Tema, Roiv Listem Yisrael Ninu. Most of the people who are thieves are Jews. And at the end of the day, even though they're thieves, they're not the type of people, loy mezazelbu, they will not degrade the tefillin. Kamash Malon, so we teach us that that's not true. We have to be concerned that the ganovim are not Jews. And since we have to be concerned that the ganovim are not Jews, they're not going to properly treat the tefillin. And therefore, we have to take him home. So from here we see that tefillin, the only concern, explained the Rishonim, is because of that they're gonna be degraded. But if the concern is that they're not gonna be degraded, but your concern here is you're gonna lose your tefillin, and tefillin are expensive, that's not enough of a heter to be allowed to wear the tefillin on Shabbos. And again, depended on different places where they live. However, in places, most places, of course, Jews are upstanding people, and therefore we have to be concerned that the people who are the ganovim that will degrade the tefillin are people that won't treat them with the proper respect. Hadron loch beya, hadron loch beya, hadron loch beya. We begin be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the second perek of our Masechta. The second perek of our Masechta, the first part of the perek, speaks about Erev Tavshilin. And when we speak about Erev Tavshilin, when we speak about this halacha, the way to look at this halacha is that sometimes Yontif is on Friday, and we have to cook on Friday for Shabbos. And the question is, it's Yontif. On Yontif we could cook for Oichel Nefesh, as we discussed many times in our previous perek, but we can't cook if it's not Oichel Nefesh. It's not for food needs for today. And therefore the concern of our Gemara is what could you do in terms of cooking on Friday for Shabbos? And there's a fundamental machlokes how to approach the shayla. One way of approaching the shayla is that tzarcha Shabbos nasim v'yontif, that you can prepare on yontif for Shabbos that's going to be the next day. And the other way of approaching it is that you can't prepare really on Shabbos, on Yontif for Shabbos. The reason we're lenient is because Hoyle Miklei Orchim, you may have guests on Yontif. So it turns out that what I'm cooking on Yontif, I'm really cooking on behalf of today. If guests will come, I'm going to serve them this food. And therefore, I'm allowed to really cook. And whatever I'm cooking, therefore, I'll have leftover for Shabbos. And even if guests, now according to the man, even if guests don't show up, since guests could have shown up, I could rely on Hoyle. Of course, I could only rely on Hoyle in a case where the food that I'm preparing on Yontif will be edible on Yontif, and I could serve it to the guests. But if it wouldn't be servable, then I can't rely on Hoyle. So we have this fundamental machlokes, what is the reason we could cook on Friday for Shabbos, or Friday Yontif for Shabbos. Certainly, the halacha is, as we're going to learn in our sugyas, the only time you could cook is if you have an Erev Tavshilin. So says the Mishnah, Yontif Shechal Liyah is Erev Shabbos. If Yontif falls on Friday, the halacha is Lo Yavash Betchilim Yontif LeShabbos. One may not cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Avashu Hul Yontif. you cook on behalf of Yontif, Vim Heiser, and if you have leftover food, Heiser Shabbos, then you could use the leftover food on Yontif. Of course, the question will be that when we say that you're cooking for Yontif, does it mean you're cooking for Yontif and you're adding to the pot more than you need? And that leftover food could be used for Shabbos? Or could you even cook another pot? Moreover, the Rishonim say that what you're not allowed to do is, according to the Mishnah at this point, is deliberately do the wrong thing. Say I'm cooking this for Yontif, and when really you have a mind for Shabbos. But the Sfasem says the way to understand the Mishnah is the Mishnah is teaching us that we're not concerned that a person is going to do the wrong thing, and therefore he could cook in such a fashion. Oysa Adam Tavshim Erev Yontif. But now, the Mishnah gives us the concept of Erev Tavshilin. It teaches us the Mishnah. A person can prepare food Erev Yontif, that food will be Erev Tavshilin, for some Chalav L'Shabbos, and relying on that food for Shabbos. And that's what you're relying for Erev Tavshilin. And as the Achronim point out, there's no Chiv to make it Erev Tavshilin. If you want to be able to cook Erev Tavshilin, cook on Friday for Shabbos, the only way you'll be able to do so is by making an Erev Tavshilin. And the Rambam points out, where's the word Erev Tavshilin come here? Because it's similar to the Eruv Chatzeris. Just like we know that by making Eruv Chatzeris, as we discussed, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, and other places, Masechta Pesachim, you could carry from one Chatzah to another Chatzah by making an Eruv Chatzeris. Says the Rambam, that's the similar wording that we have here, that you can make an Erev Tavshilin. But the Rambam is saying the word Erev that's used by Erev Tavshilin doesn't really make much sense. There are others that disagree. And they just hold that the Ravid says that just like the Ruvi Chatzeris, the point of the Ruvi Chatzeris is it connects all the Chatzeris together, so too is what the Ruvi Chatzeris, the Ruvi Tavshilin accomplishes. What the Ruvi Tavshilin accomplishes, it combines the Shabbos and Yontif. And by combining the Shabbos and Yontif, if you started cooking on Yontif, by having this from before Yontif, you could continue cooking on Yontif for Shabbos. The halacha is, as far as Erev Tavshilin is, that you take a food and you designate that food as the Erev Tavshilin. So now the Gemara discusses how much, what is the food? So Beishamai and Mishnei Tavshilin. Beishamai says that you have to take two foods in order to be relied for an Erev Tavshilin. Beis Hillel's opinion is Tavshil Achad, one food is enough. So the Rishonim explain, how do we understand why Beishamai requires two foods? So many Rishonim explain, that Beishamai says you have to take two different types of food, a cooked food and a roasted food, to allow you to cook and to roast. Others say that Beishamai doesn't require that the two foods have to be prepared in different ways, one cooked and one roasted. Beishamai wants that the Erev Tavshilin should be choshev, should be significant, and it's only considered significant when you have two foods. So Beishamai on Mishnei Tavshilin, you have to take two foods to make it into a valid Erev Tavshilin. Beisilah on Tavshil Echad, one food is fine. V'shaven, but everybody agrees. B'dag u'beyosh olav, if you have a fish that you smeared with egg, that's considered Shnei Tavshilin, it's considered two Tavshilin. I sort of was trying to point out that why does the Mishnah explain Beishamai's opinion? We don't follow the opinion of Beishamai. So why is the Mishnah focused it on his opinion? To teach us in other areas of halacha where you need two tafshilin, this is not considered two tafshilin. The halacha is Erev Tisha B'Av, by the Suda Mafsekis, we're only allowed to eat tafshil echad. So let's say somebody's eating fish with egg shmir on it. It's not considered like he's eating two tafshilin. It's considered like he's eating one tafshil. And the halacha is you take this food on Erev Yontif and you make a bracha. Bracha at Hashem al kirei melech olam asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al mitzvos Erev. And then you say b'edein yeshar lanu lefuyei ulafshulei ulatmuni ladlukei shargo u'mavid Kol tzarchonim v'yontiv l'shabbos, lonu l'cho b'nei ha'ir, olam b'nei chayzeres, or that's what you say in terms of the Erev. If you want that your Erev should be effective for other people as well, you have to be zoich, you have to, so you could do it. You're doing a person a favor when you're preparing an Erev on his behalf. However, the halacha is that you can't be zoich in it, you can't give him ownership in it, unless somebody else first does it on his behalf, and that person who's taking ownership can't be one of your children who are still young, under bar bas mitzvah, they have to be adults. Question about a wife. Achloi, if the Erev that was prepared was eaten up, or got lost, you can't rely on an Erev that's not here anymore. However, if there's some of the Erev left over, the Gemara will explain exactly how much, then that you rely on it on Shabbos. And as the Sfas Emes explains, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that since this person prepared a big Erev, maybe what he was declaring, that it's only an Erev if I have everything that I prepared for the Erev. If I don't have everything that I prepared for the Erev, maybe it's not considered a valid Erev. Teaches us the Mishnah that's still valid if you have the right shear. So ask the Gemara, so of course this is a very difficult question the Rishonim ask. The din of Erev Tavshilin is certainly a din of the Rabbanon. So what's the Gemara asking, Menon and Mili, where in the Torah do we find the concept of Erev Tavshilin? So Ritva explains that what the Gemara is looking for is an asmachta. The Gemara is looking for some sort of a remez, for some sort of a hint in the Torah. And he explains that this is an important factor in understanding and how to understand Rabbanon. The Torah gives, as we know, Rabbanon incredible power. As the Pasuk says, we have to follow what they say. However, the Torah gives the Chachamim guidance in how they should approach a halacha. How does the Torah give guidance to the Chachamim? By having psukim that show us what to do or not. Says the Gemara Amar, Shmuel, the Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Zachar Shoyim HaShabbos L'Katshoy. And what the Torah is teaching us, Zachreyu, Acha Shabbal HaShkichoy. You don't, where do we have to remind you to remember something when you're likely to forget it? Where is that? When Yontif is on Friday, and because it's Yontif, and people eat large meals on Yontif, he may not leave over anything for Shabbos. And that's why the Torah says that even though Yontif is on Friday and you're enjoying your Yontif, don't forget that Shabbos is coming. And therefore, since you don't forget, that's the way Rashi explains. The Rav explains it something differently. But since on Shabbos, we're not allowed to cook and bake, so there's a concern that you're going to forget Shabbos is coming, and you're going to forget that you can't cook and bake on Shabbos, and now all of a sudden it's Shabbos, and I don't have what to eat. Erev Tavshilin will remind us to properly prepare for Shabbos. My Tama, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, says the Gemara, why does the Erev Tavshilin work? Amar Rava, Kadei Shiyiv R'mana Yofel Shabbos, or Mana Yofel Yontif. By preparing an Erev Tavshilin, you'll remember that Shabbos is coming, and you'll prepare food that you can have for Shabbos and Yontif. Rav Ashi Amar, the reason we prepare the Erev Tavshilin is not, as we just explained, because we're concerned for the covered Shabbos, that if you won't prepare the Erev Tavshilin, you won't have the proper food for Shabbos. The reason is, Shiyamru Enoi from Yontif L'Shabbos, if the people should tell us that we're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, Kavachayim Yontif L'Chol. That means Chazal were concerned that people should realize what is mutter and what is not mutter to be done on Yontif. What's the nafkamina, says the Rosh? According to Rava, you have to make the Erev Tavshilin right before Yontif. Because if you make the Erev Tavshilin right before Yontif, you'll remember, I have the Yontif food and I have the Shabbos food. However, If the halacha is that it should serve as a reminder what I'm allowed to do on Yontif, I don't have to make it strictly an Erev Yontif. So it will be a very big nafkamina. Let's say you'll have a Yontif that you have two Erev Tavshilins. You need two Erev Shilins for the first days and for the second days. Can you make one Erev Tavshilin and rely on them for both days? Another nafkamina is, what do you have if you want to cook and bake? Do you have to have a cooked food and a baked food? If we're saying Tayyif from Mona Yofel Shabbos, then you're going to have a special type of food for every type of food that you want to prepare for Shabbos. If the purpose of the Erev, however, is not to prepare a food that you need to have Shabbos, you want to just to remind you, so then the halach is that as long as you have one food, that will serve as your reminder, and you wouldn't need to have anything else. Tanan, ask the Gemara on Rava. It said in our Mishnah, Oysa Tavshim Erev Yontif, Samech Lev L'Shabbos. You make the food in Erev Yontif, and that's what you rely on for the Erev Tavshilin. Bishlam L'Rav Ashi Damek Kedei Shiyomru, according to Rav Ashi that says that the reason for Erev Tavshilin is that people should realize that Ein Oifim Yontif L'Shabbos, Hainadim Erev Yontif In. That's why you have to make the Erev Tavshilin and Erev Yontif. Yontif Loi. But on Yontif, it's too late to make the Erev Tavshilin. El L'Rava, that the entire purpose is that you should pick a Mana Yafa, my area, Erev Yontif. Why do you have to make the Erev Tavshilin strictly an Erev Yontif? I feel a Yontif Nami. You can make the Erev Tavshilin on Yontif itself. Says the Mar Enecha Nami. Truthfully, you should be able to make the Erev Tavshilin on Yontif. Because all I want to be able to do is serve as a reminder that I'm not allowed to cook on Yontif what I'm not allowed to cook. But what Chazal were concerned was Shema Yipasha. The high point, as according to Rav, is Mana Yafa. So as long as I have a Mana Yafa, it should be enough. But Chazal were concerned that if I'm not going to prepare it on Erev Yontif, I will not prepare it on Yontif when. And by then, of course, it has to be prepared. Says the Gemara, Tana Maisel Mahacha, we began the sugya by looking for an Asmachta for Hilchas Erev. Says the Gemara, he brings it from what the Torah speaks about in the Parshas Amon. The Torah says, Shabbos Kodesh Hashem Mochor. It says, Toifu Eifu Vashetavashelu Bashelu. So why is the Torah putting in this lengthy wording, redundancy of words? Mikanam Rebeloza. Ain oifen el al ofui. We only could cook on Erev Shabbos Yontif if I already have a prepared baked food. Veim avashlam el al mavoshel. And I only could cook if I already have a food. I already only could cook if I have a food prepared from before. If I don't have a food that was prepared from before, I can't cook. Mikan some chachamim says the Gemara. This is where Chazal took us to halacha that. Erev Tavshilin and Torah, that if you want to cook on Erev Shabbos Yontif, you have to have an Erev Tavshilin. Says the Mar Tana Rabbana Maisa, Rebbe Lezer Shai Yosh V'Darish Kol Yom Kula. Rebbe Lezer was sitting in shul on Yontif, and the entire day, he was sitting and learning. And the Ben Yoyada points out that the Gemara uses the word Shai Yosh V'Darish. Yosh V'Darish means, in those days when they learned something which was easier to understand, they learned standing. When they learned something which was more difficult, needed concentration, they used to sit. And the Gemara is telling us that Rebbe Lezer was sitting and learning difficult halachas that required much concentration. Says the Gemara, Yotze Kas Rishoyna, there was a group of Talmidim that walked out in the middle of his drosha. Omar, so Rebbe Lezer said about these people, these Talmidim Alola Bali Paspasin. These are people that drink a lot, and obviously they need time to eat all the food that they're preparing, and that's why they walked out. That's why they walked out in the middle of the shir. Kasa Shnia, Rebbe Lezer is continuing to say the shir, and people want to go eat. Amar Alola Bali Chavius. They don't have barrels that as big as the first group, but they still want to go eat, and they have to leave. Kas Shlish is the third group walked out. Amar Lola Balakadin, smaller barrels. Kas Ravi is the fourth group. Amar Lola Balaginin, they only like pitchers. Kas Chamish is the fifth group. Amar Lola Balakosis, the amount of a cup because they had time to leave late because they're not going to eat that much. Says the Gemara, "Schilu kal shishis leitzes." So the sixth group was about to leave. Amar Rabbi Eliezer said about them, "Halolu bali meira." These people should be cursed because pash pshat, by leaving now, there won't be anybody left in the Beis Medrash. And since there won't be anybody left on the Beis Medrash, so that's why now I'm upset that they're leaving, particularly because leaving me and the Beis Medrash empty. Another pshat that many explained, the Shloah, the Chasam Sofer. The earlier groups obviously felt that Yontif is a time of Lechem, that you have to have a good meal on Yontif. And that's why they left. These people didn't obviously hold that way, because if they felt that way, why wouldn't have they left earlier? And that's why he was upset. Nasan ena b'talmidim. So Rabbi Eliezer looked at the few talmidim who were left in the Beis Medrash. Heschilu p'nei mishtanim, because now they realized that they thought they were doing the right thing by leaving later, but actually by leaving later, they were doing the wrong thing because Rabbi Eliezer is going to curse them. Amma lahem. So Rabbi Eliezer said, I'm not speaking to you. Alo shiyotsu. I'm only speaking to people who walked out of the middle of the shir. Shemanichin chaya oilam. They give up chaya oilam v'oiskim b'chaya shah. Says Rabbi Eliezer, you who will only leave after the shir is over, I'm not going to be upset at you. So what's pshat shemanichin chaya oilam? They walk away from learning Torah, which we know Chaya Oilam not b'secheinu, and they're busy with eating, which is Chaya Oilam hazeh. The Meshech Chachma says that we know that the Gemara Masechta Brachos calls Tefillah Chaya Shah and learning Chaya Oilam. Why? Because Tefillah is made for Chaya Shah. We daven for Panosah, we daven for Gashmias. Torah is for Olam Haba. And that's why Torah is called Chaya Olam and Tefillah is called Chaya Shah. And that's what he said about these people as well. Amar, B'shas Petirosan, says the Gemara, when these Talmidim left the Beis Medrash, Amalahem, he said to them, the Pasuk says in Ezra, L'chu ichlush mashmanim shesumam pakim, eat delicious foods, drink delicious beverages, the shulchan manos le'nochaloi, and send gifts to people who don't have what to eat. Ki kadosh hayoyim la'adonenu. Today, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah, the pastor there. V'al te'atzvu, don't be upset. Ki chedvus Hashem mi'uschem. And that's why there's some Rishonim that say that this entire story happened on Rosh Hashanah. Amamar, so we just said that Rabbi Eliezer was upset because he said, menichin chay oylam, v'oiskin b'chay shah. Ask the Gemara, how can you say it's Chayei Shah? They were going to eat a yontif suda and the simchas yontif mitzvahi. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer Tamei, Rabbi Eliezer is following his opinion. One is not obligated to eat a meal on the yontif. The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo la'odna b'yontif, ela oich v'shoina yosh v'shoina. The entire day of yontif is either to eat or to learn. Rabbi Shua Omer, Chalkeyu, the way yontif should be, the way Yontif should be celebrated, it's Chetzi L'Shem V'Chetzi L'Chem. Of course, the Rishonim say that even though Rabbi Eliezer says that you can have Kula L'Hashem, you're not allowed to fast on a Yontif. But Rabbi Shua says Chalkeyu Chetzi L'Hashem V'Chetzi L'Chem. Why? To show that we're enjoying the Yontif. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shnei Mekei Chedarshu. Both of them came to their Psak based on the same way. Kosvech Reimer, one pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Lakecha. The Shavuos is Lashem Lakecha. The Kosvech Reimer, Atzeres Tehi Lachem. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Oh, okay, it's Adrav Lezer Sover, Oy Kul Hashem, Oy Kul Lachem. You have a choice, either or. Rabbi Shua Sover, Chetzi Lashem, Chalkeyu, Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem. Mai Le'ein Nachaloi, so we said the pasuk says, Shulchan Manus Le'ein Nachaloi. Says the Gemara, Amram Chizdal Mishal and Nechir of Tashilin. If somebody didn't prepare an Nechir of Tashilin, so he won't be able to cook for Shabbos. So what you should do is send him food, so he should have what to eat on Shabbos. Ikadamri, me, Shalai Hayalayla Nechir of Tashilin. Who is the person we should send food to? Somebody who didn't have food to use to make an Nechir of Tashilin. However, If somebody had the food that he can make an after shilin v'lo'aniach and he still was negligent, peshayuhu, and we don't have to provide him food. Ma'ki chedus Hashem me'uschem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klai Yisrael b'nu livu alai, borrow for me the kitchen kitchen sayoyim, and you should have food for Shabbos. V'mina b'vani pareya, and you could trust that I will pay you back. So Taisus asks that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos says, "Asay Shabbat Chachol v'altet starch l'brius." A person should not borrow for Shabbos. Rather, eat on Shabbos like a weekday instead of borrowing money. How we reconcile this with our Gemara? So there are a number of terutzim. One terutz says for Shabbos we don't borrow, but for Yontif there's more of an inyan of Simchas Yontif we do borrow. Another pshat is that for Kiddush, we have to borrow. For extras, we don't have to borrow. Another pshat is that it depends on the person. If the person will have the ability to repay what he borrowed, then he should borrow. If the person will not have the ability to repay what he borrowed, then he should not borrow. Another variation is it depends if you have from whom to borrow. If you have from whom to borrow, then you should borrow. If not, not. The Talmud Yaakov Yosef has a different approach. He says it depends on who you are. If you have bitachin, that if you'll borrow for Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the means to pay back, then you should borrow. If you don't have that level of bitachin, then you should not borrow. And then I saw a var, levu alai v'ani perei. If you're borrowing for Shabbos, you should only borrow if your intention is levu alai, to do it for Kvod Hashem. But if you're doing it because you just want to have expensive, delicious meals, you have no right to borrow for Shabbos. Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Haroitzi shiskaim nechasov. If somebody wants that the fields that he plants should remain with him, yitim ba'adr. He should plant the other tree. That's a very significant tree. And everybody will know that this person planted the other tree and will know that that field belongs to him. Many other mefarshim explain, Yitim ben Adar refers to the mitzvah tzedakah. We know Adar Purim is known for tzedakah, and somebody who gives tzedakah will be able to hold on to his money. Another pshat that Adar stands for the words, Roish Tevarcha Emes. If somebody wants to be successful in his business, the halacha is Yitim ben Adar. He should go with emes. Somebody who lives his life with emes will be successful in his business ventures. Another pshat is yitim bar adar is he should refers to adi b'moram Hashem. If in all of his business ventures he has in mind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that person will be successful. Inami shnama adi b'moram Hashem. Inami adra kishmei. The name Adr Kramri in Shimai Adr, the Kaimla Dari Dari. This will be able to stay with you forever. Taina Mehakoim, saw the Shiesh by Adr. Somebody planted an Adr tree in his field. And an exelus. Nobody has to worry about it being stolen. Vain in the Chmeses or Perisem Shtamrim. He'll be able to hold on to his field forever because the Adr tree will make it famous. Some say that the roots go very deep. And since the roots go very deep, they serve as a perfect border marker where your field is and nobody can encroach on your field.